Welcome to VMN Volume 3, Episode 24. The date is October 18th, 2023. VMN is produced and transmitted from unceded Abenaki territory of so-called Vermont. This episode is a rebroadcast of a debate between Marina Brown and Sandy Baer on Channel 17 in Burlington, Vermont. Ostensibly, the topic is about the extent and limits of free speech, but the discussion turned into a call-out of Sandy for her apparent support of the transphobic group LGB Alliance and her personally spreading misinformation about trans athletes. If you are averse to conflict or transphobic speech, all trigger warnings apply. Take care of yourselves. While I may seem like a combative person to many, I felt kind of bad after the debate. It felt like a street fight where my opponent ended up bleeding on the ground. I had the following discussions with Daryl Lamont Jenkins of the One People's Project regarding the discussion. This is what was said.
Well, if you're going to do that, let me just give you a video, this voice message then. Because the truth of the matter is she wasn't defending free speech. She was defending people she likes. And that is always the problem. That has always been the problem. The fact of the matter is these so-called free speech absolutists aren't really absolute in their defense. Does she defend Colin Kaepernick? Because I never hear him being defended in the name of free speech. You know, I hope she probably is defending those Palestinian students that are being X'd out in on college campuses. But the deal is, they are being X'd out. And these are the things that I would love to talk about. And like I said, I am driving right now. But it's funny because I was actually sitting up here while I'm driving, talking with myself about what I heard last night. Because I got pissed off. I got really pissed off because I heard all of this crap before. I mean, the whole thing about, like I said, the whole thing about the she doesn't believe in hate speech, but called what you said hate speech. I mean, hate speech, calling it hate speech, saying, you know what, let me put it like this. Free speech and hate speech are not interchangeable. Just because it's hate speech doesn't mean you can define it as such because First Amendment, you know? I mean, that was corny. I also think it's important, the group that she is a part of or the group that she's defending, to pick up some quotes and some things that they've said and done that suggest that they don't give a damn too much of a damn about anybody else's rights. That will go a long way in shutting down her free speech absolutism defense, you know, because frankly, I don't think she's as much as an absolutist as she would tell you. I mean, I think she's just using, you know, free speech as a cop-out like a lot of them generally do.
To follow up on what Daryl suggested, the LGB Alliance has been listed as a hate group by multiple mainstream LGBT plus organizations, and also listed as a hate group by anti-extremism groups, at least the one based in Ireland. While they say they don't approve of the far-right evangelical groups, they were essentially launched by publicity given to them by the anti-gay, anti-trans, far-right group, the Heritage Foundation. Members of their group have spoken on panels at the Heritage Foundation. Unlike legitimate LGBT groups, a founding member of theirs, Malcolm Clark, came out against banning the conversion therapy. Conversion therapy is an abusive practice that aims to change the sexual orientation or gender identity of individuals through therapy. All reputable therapy associations oppose this. The official Twitter of LGB Alliance, Alliance LGB, has seemingly even pushed back on the normal demand for gay marriage. While this group claims to be for gay people, it seems that their main activity is opposing trans rights and modest reforms at making the lives of trans people easier. With no more delays, here is The Brawl in BTV.
So I invited you both to come and talk about this issue of free speech, which is one of the core tenets of CCTV, open access. And one of our missions is free speech, open access, but it's also about building community. And so there's a tension sometimes.
I don't think there's a tension, but that's the point. Yeah.
Sandy, you have...
I won your award for free speech.
I know. You have strong views that I want to hear from. And Marina also did a public records request around the show that was done with Christopher Aaron Felker around stickering and some of the comments that were made in the show seeming to some folks to be harmful, hateful, or hurtful to transgender folks in the community. And it sort of began an internal conversation about how our organization balances free speech with serving the needs of community building. And so I just wanted to bring you two here together to talk about this and, you know, maybe share some insight. And maybe one thing is just to start with why free speech is important, because I know it is to both of you, and what that means, where that comes from. And maybe just actually, if you just introduce yourselves.
Well, I'm Marina Brown. I've been involved in promoting free speech internationally. I've been thanked by people in Saudi Arabia for running Tor relays that allowed them to speak to the rest of the world without the restrictive firewall that Saudi Arabia puts in. I won't give details, but I've been involved in a free speech lawsuit where I was promoting for a lesbian professor who was fired for her beliefs. The settlement of the agreement forbids me from talking more, which I, at this point in my life, deeply regret not taking that to court. I should have done that, but my mother worked at the college. I do a lot of stuff dealing with fascism, and when you deal with fascism, you deal with the issue of free speech. In the United States right now, there's two cases that particularly concern me. One of them is the Stop Cop City movement, where people are being criminalized for their beliefs. The prosecutor, the DeKalb County prosecutor, is using the beliefs and even people signing ACAB on things as saying that they are part of a wider conspiracy. Dan Baker is an anti-fascist who went to Rojava to fight ISIS. And when he came back, he saw what was gonna happen on J6, as many of us did. And he told people, come to the Florida State House to protect this against assault. He is now sitting in prison because they construed his earlier statements to be terrorist. One of the things, you know, I worry about, I get upset when right-wingers whine about their free speech. You know, they coming to take my rights away, my speech away, say that I can't talk about CRT in schools, and I think that's kind of ironic.
Great, thanks. So that, Marina, thanks for introducing yourself, and you touched on a couple of things to talk about. Sandy, do you want to just introduce yourself, and maybe where you come from with your belief in free speech?
Okay, I'm Sandy Baer, and I'm an attorney, and I guess on this issue I would call myself a free speech absolutist. First of all, we are probably the only constitution in the world which guarantees free speech. I don't know any other constitution that has such a strong statement in it about the rights of people to pretty much say and think whatever they want to say or think. And I value our Constitution deeply, as everyone probably in this community knows. Beyond that, I mean, I believe in our Constitution. The United States Constitution was put into place against the tyranny of the British government. That's what our Constitution protects. It protects speech, even if it's against the government, even if it's against, even if it's what you call hate speech. Because to me, there is no such thing as hate speech. If it's speech, it's allowed under the United States Constitution. And in a sense, speech also protects against violence. I believe that. Because when you talk to each other, that's a way that you're not going to beat each other to a pulp. Mm-hmm. So I believe that in two levels. One, it is a guarantee of our Constitution, absolute free speech. Secondly, it is a guarantee that peaceful conversations can happen even when people violently disagree. If you're talking, you're not killing each other. So those are the two reasons that I would really call myself a free speech absolutist.
So, Marina, I want you to respond, but I think I'm curious a little bit about the speech against the government and then speech mm-hmm. against individuals or marginalized people or protected groups.
As I said, I think speech is absolutely allowed. What isn't allowed under our Constitution or in our law is threats against people, physical threats. That is not allowed, and I agree with that.
Brandenburg versus Ohio, 1969, says, your speech is allowed unless mm-hmm. it creates an imminent threat of
right.
lawless
exactly.
action.
Exactly.
However, in the International Criminal Tribunal on Rwanda, they, even though that was an international tribunal, they considered the Brandenburg decision. There were radio broadcasters in Rwanda that kept on talking about, you know, we're going to kill the minorities, we're going to kill them. And this speech got louder and louder and louder until it provoked the genocide in Rwanda. Likewise, many American jurists were present at Nuremberg, where Julius Streicher was prosecuted and ultimately hung for his promotion of genocide against the Jews. Streicher did not do one bit of the Holocaust. He tortured some prisoners when he was a commissar there, but he didn't participate in that. It was his speech.
Mm-hmm. That's dangerous.
Beyond that.
Yeah, right,
and we have to recognize mm-hmm. a difference between opinion and, you know, everyone's got, you know, to put it crudely, everyone's got a hole in their rear, just like everyone's got an opinion. What I worry about is when people organize to harm minorities, and many of the groups like that I fight against, like the Vanguard America, which became the Patriot Front, they organized to hurt people. Jews will not replace us is what they chanted in Charlottesville. And it was Vanguard America that brought James Fields there. And as a researcher on the far right, many times I watch people's speech escalate and create these massacres, like the guy who shot up the synagogue in Pittsburgh. I had a computer program.
But you're talking about two different things. A guy who organizes shootings, of course, is a criminal.
Mm-hmm. I guess for us, and this is something where comes the line, Sandy or Marina? How do you think about holding other community members? And what happens when there is hurtful or harmful or hate speech, whether you can define that or whether you can recognize it or whether you feel it? Because people feel it.
I think the law is not governed, maybe unfortunately for you, Megan, and maybe unfortunately for a lot of people. The law is not governed by feelings. The law is governed by our Constitution. Under our Constitution, there is freedom to be hateful.
But it then becomes, I think what I'm hearing Marina say is it becomes more than feelings, it becomes actions, it becomes laws.
When it becomes action, of course, it's criminal.
Yeah, the organization that I am annoyed at you for supporting, the LGB Alliance, is organizing harm against trans people. This is not just opinion. It's organizing to hurt my community. And I am partially here to say that.
Good for you. Thank you for your opinion.
Yeah, and I am organizing opinion. Against your group.
I guess so.
So this is an opportunity to, I mean, if one way to counter hurtful or harmful speech or bad speech or speech you don't like is to
I think it's
produce
against
more
the law.
Speech.
Yeah, I know. I would say have more speech.
So, but where does that go? What happens? I mean, how do we engage?
What happens is
how do we
what's
engage
called,
with one another?
What's called, Megan, is conversation.
Yeah. So we're having
yes.
So how do we have that conversation
we're having
now?
It.
Yeah.
The conversations often spill over into violence. I've been at many places where it did. I was at Charlottesville. I was attacked by Nazis. Yes, there were peaceful conversations even between the far right, and one of my conversations caused a lot of consequences because it was publicized. But there was also attempted murder, and I got attacked.
But you heard what I said. Attempted murder is a crime.
Yes, it is.
Clearly.
But we have to recognize where people are organizing to do a pogrom. You can, and when you see that, you can't say it's just speech. When
if it's organized, I said clearly, and I'll say it again. If people are organized to harm people, it's a crime. Go to the police about it.
Well,
the police don't usually do anything about it. I don't care about mm-hmm. what the police do. I'm an anti-fascist
okay.
organizer,
okay.
and I put my body.
I do
between,
care.
I put my body between the community yeah. and these people, and I've been harmed by that.
I have too. Done both.
So. Right now, if we can just bring it back to this community organization. So we're
what
looking at this community organization.
Yeah.
CCTV. So if we're just looking
what?
At, we're looking at CCTV, yeah. right? And so mm-hmm. one of the principles, one of the ideas is if, and maybe both of you can speak to this, is when a society like ours that has a constitution functions best when the organizations that exist in it are able to achieve or strive for meeting those same constitutional standards. So there's actually nothing that prevents CCTV from shutting its doors, from saying, you know, we'll have these shows and we won't have these shows. We're a nonprofit, private organization. We're not a government entity.
Do you receive funds from the government?
Well, it has been tested. We do receive some funds for town meeting TV. So we can set up policies. So we have an aspirational idea around keeping the doors open to all and for mm-hmm. free speech. We also want to balance that with being an organization that recognizes power imbalance. So help talk me through that. If it's outside the legal realm, help talk me through that. How would you?
I'm not able to do that because I honestly don't know what you're talking about. If this organization receives, I'll give you a perfect example
yeah.
of what you guys helped me on one time. Do you remember when there was an attempt to shut down Al Jazeera English in this mm-hmm. community?
Yeah.
And that's what was argued by those who wanted to shut that down.
Yep.
It was hate. It was a terrorist organization. It had to be shut down. You know how we won?
It was run on Burlington Telecom.
It was run on Burlington Telecom. It had government funds.
Uh-huh.
Because it had government funds, and it was owned by our government, the city,
yeah.
we were able to argue that under our Constitution, they could, something like the group that tried to censor Al Jazeera English could not do that constitutionally.
Yep.
That's how we won that example. Don't you think that Al Jazeera English was called hate speech, terrorist speech? Remember that? And I was
but it's not.
I was interviewed by this organization on that subject.
Yeah. No, I mean.
And we won it.
Yeah.
It's clearly not hate speech. The Al Jazeera, it's just news.
So
and I would argue.
So when, I think when this you, is the point
no,
where we.
Wait,
yeah,
let me say,
yeah.
I run a very small hosting business. I have a terms of service. I feel that it, as a platform, and I do not receive government money, it is my responsibility and my free speech right
yes.
to eliminate any hate speech from my
right.
from my platform, and I do
yeah,
so.
Right.
And I would say that like Facebook has facilitated a genocide in Myanmar and other places. They've been very irresponsible. And I would say as a platform, they have a responsibility to eliminate
hate
speech.
If it's a private organization, they can.
And they have a responsibility to do so.
As I said, if they're a private organization, they can do what they wish. And you know what, Megan? Once our Burlington Telecom lost Al Jazeera and was sold to a private company, guess what happened? Censorship. And they're allowed to do it because it's a private organization. They immediately got all Canadian programs off.
There's the issue of censorship. There's the issue of meeting the needs of, you know, helping to protect marginalized communities, which I think is where you're going with what's hate speech and what's not hate speech and how do you define that. And I think this is where we get into that question, Marina, of for you, I guess, is in whose hands do we leave the definition of help having to define speech? So you brought up the
I don't use the government. I don't want, that's not where I am. Governments can go, come and go, and I'm not in the business of supporting them one way or the other. I want to defend my community. And when you organize to take away my rights, when you organize to say, you know, someone under 22 should not get gender-affirming care, then I have a problem. That is not just hate speech. That is stepping on the pyramid of genocide and trying to remove our health care rights. And that's what I do. I mean, yeah, there's governments that I can talk about how Poland doesn't allow speech that would create religious strife or how France will penalize people. But in the end, I'm not a lawyer. I am not a government. I am an activist who stands up for marginalized communities. So if you're coming up against, if you're talking about coming up against migrants, and I can be there, I will fight you. And that may be physical if I have to. If you're going to say you're going to shut down a clinic, an abortion clinic, I'm going to come there and I'm going to put my body in between there. And I have, when the Lambs of Christ came to Philly in, I believe it was 89 with their seven city siege, that became a militant fight. We weren't talking about what the government, what the Constitution did. We were fighting for people's rights and that clinic.
Congratulations.
So
thank you.
So again, bring it back to something like CCTV, which you know does receive some government funds, but still is in that gray area. We are able to shut our doors if we want or not. Mm-hmm. Who defines?
Are you really? Is that true? Do you know?
Well, it's been tested in the New York Circuit Court of Appeals.
You think?
I'm not a lawyer. I don't know either.
It was tested
around Manhattan Neighborhood Network because they shut out some producers at one point, and they shut out some producers who were critical of the station, and then those folks took them to court, and the court said, no, the station had the right to shut them out. I guess my question, one of the things that we struggle here, both practically and kind of legally, is how you define that and what we would do in that situation. So when we see somebody making programming that folks identify as dangerous, hurtful, harmful, et cetera, what we've always said is, let's find other programming to counter that,
right,
or let's invite folks, or let's add disclaimers so that folks know that this programming is made and may or may not, conform to social norms or social expectations, et cetera. But how do you define it when you see it, and where does that responsibility lie?
Well, we can talk about what happened in Middlebury. I mean, I do not believe that. I believe what Charles Murray stands for and does.
You might have to start from the beginning.
Charles Murray is a white supremacist who is a kind of a darling of the conservative right. He talks about race differences. His famous book is called The Bell Curve, which argues that black people are not as intelligent as white people and should not be given affirmative action or any help at all because they need to be filtered to the bottom of society, and that's the way it should be. He came to Middlebury. There was a horrible protest against him. The thing that the compromise position that was not taken in the college, from my understanding, is a lot of the people who organized against Murray would have been all right if he actually had a knowledgeable person to debate and to counter his ideas, but he was allowed to present what I would argue are genocidal ideas unopposed. And, you know, I do not believe in platforming fascists of any sort, but the compromise here would be to say, okay, you want to come on the show, fine, but you're going to have to be opposed.
That's what you said, though. Right?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's sort of one of our policies. I mean, you know, and to call it a policy, it's pretty loose. But again, I think I'm trying to get at how do you define, and in that case, I think I remember this, and I would support, I mean, personally, whether that means anything, I think it's supported legally also, the right of folks to protest a speaker at any time and to, you know, to put their bodies between the mic if they want to shut that speech down. I think what we're talking about specifically here is who has the right to shut down speech, when and where. And so
public organizations do not. If they're funded by the government, then, as I said about Al Jazeera, and man, that was considered a hate network by many people. Mm-hmm. In fact, there were huge hearings, as you recall, all over Burlington, led by me. I organized those hearings to keep Al Jazeera English on the air. We won that fight based on free speech principles. It had been defined by many people throughout this country as hate speech. Whether you agreed with that or not, that was what many people said, and that it threatened particularly Jewish people. Al Jazeera English threatened Jewish people. Nevertheless, because Al Jazeera English was part of Burlington Telecom, a government institution, we were allowed and we won that fight to keep it on the air because of free speech. And I would do it again any time is questioned. Now, Marina has...
Did you not call me he?
I'm sorry. She, I'm sorry. Marina, let's call you by your name. Marina argues that she has the right to shut everything down because she is a private organization. That's fine. Right?
Yeah, I'm just pausing for a minute. I think we're still not getting to the place of... I think we're still not getting to the place of sometimes there are things that are said that you just want to go away.
Well, yes. I would say hate speech is the beginning of genocide. Everyone who studies it says it starts with slurs, then it starts with people trying to go in the government to discriminate against people, then it goes to violence, then it goes to killing, and then the final stage is denial.
So where
and
do you interrupt
of, when,
it?
When you start,
that's the
when
question.
You start
where,
hearing,
where do you interrupt it?
When you start hearing slurs like, you know, the K word for Jewish people or tranny for people like me, this is not something that's just speech. This is the beginning of what will be a trans bashing for me or if I get, you know, attacked for being Jewish. You know, these are not harmless. This is the beginning of what is the pyramid to genocide. I'm not a lawyer. I am not the government. Mm-hmm. I don't know where to draw the line. But
yes,
what
we
I
do,
as an anti-fascist, I stand up against that. When somebody starts saying you should eliminate transgenderism, as Michael Knowles did at CPAC, he doesn't want to eliminate transgenderism as a abstract concept. He wants to eliminate me from public life. He wants to eliminate my health care. And my bones depend on some hormones or they will get weak. And that's what Michael Pence has done. Vivek Ramaswamy wants to eliminate all trans care. And they are using, they've gone beyond just speech and opinion. They are organizing to harm my community. And this is where I fight.
I think for us, this is where we're struggling as an organization that really cares about people and cares about the community that we're in and believes, yeah. I understand and believe that when you cut down speech for one person, you open the door to cutting down speech. And often you're hurting marginalized communities when you limit free speech more than you're going to hurt non-marginalized communities.
Well, it's like look what happened in
but is there a chance to respond to something?
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
What Marina said was her opinion. Her opinion is that this speech causes violence. If you prove that there was violence, that's a crime. The speech is not a crime.
Balderdash.
The protocols of the elders of Zion have killed thousands of people. Right.
The Turner Diaries have provoked what happened in Oklahoma City with a bombing and have provoked multiple other things.
Proven.
Well, the person who blew up Oklahoma City Federal Building was inspired by the Turner Diaries and said so.
Okay.
So then there's that nexus. You don't see a line between speech.
Not unless you prove it.
We're not going to prove it.
When it's proven, then it's proven.
Sandy, what I'm saying is we're not going to prove it here. I think this has been a conversation that goes back. I understand that.
I mean, if there's a concept called stochastic terrorism. I start saying things against this group. Trans people are attacking people in bathrooms. They're dangerous. Or as the Council of Conservative Citizens, formerly the Council of White Citizens, you look at their webpage. All it is black people that committed some crime. And the CCC, in spite...
I don't know what the CCC is.
It's the Council of Conservative Citizens. Uh-huh. If you don't know about them, I'm explaining it.
Thank you.
It's the outgrowth of the Council of White Citizens from the 60s, which I'm sure you're unfortunately familiar. It was organized by Gordon Baum, both organizations. This propaganda that has been put out by the CCC inspired Dylann Roof. And the same stuff comes out from, if you look at the LGB Alliance, you look at some of the other anti-trans groups, it's the same stuff. You just take black people and you place it with trans people.
I've already said my opinion about this.
I get it. There's an idea about we have to prove the relationship.
Have to prove violence.
This is a conversation that's gone on, right?
So who
was it? Gore, who put the stickers on the warning labels on music.
Tipper Gore, because it was going to cause violence.
So we're not going to solve whether this, but I hear you about there's a difference between physical violence and
or threats,
but I don't think we can deny, and there is an idea that language can deny someone's humanity, and that is a kind of violence. And my question to you all,
you said two things.
Yeah.
One, language can deny people's humanity. Mm-hmm. I agree with that. It's language. When, in fact, it does hurt that human being, it's a crime.
Got it.
So well, look,
regardless of whether it's a crime or it's hurtful, we as community members want to take some sort of step towards solving that, right? So it's long been supposed that violence...
It's long been supposed that violence starts
with speech.
Right.
That you dehumanize someone and you make a good soldier, right? who can you dehumanize someone.
I'm not agreeing with any of this, so don't say
you
right.
You don't have to. You yeah. don't have to agree. I think it's.
Hey, your organization is constantly, the LGB Alliance is constantly dehumanizing trans people.
I don't have any organization.
You said you would be willing to be Felker's consultant on the very show. I watched it.
I'm his attorney.
Okay.
So I guess this is, and we're probably not going to solve it today, is that, this is where we get to the question of what do we do as community members who live and work and are here together? What do we do as community members, whether it's on a legal side, whether it's on an organizing side, to try to put a stopper in the place where speech becomes harmful to other folks?
I say more speech. That's what I really say.
Well,
I'm not going to really alter that opinion.
What I'll say.
And I say conversation. You know what the word conversation to me means? With verse.
Mm-hmm.
People should always be countering speech with more speech and with conversation. And I doubt if I'm going to change that opinion very easily.
One thing I would like to say before the end of this conversation, hate speech is a lot like radioactivity. I release 10 curies of iodine-131 over Burlington. It's a horrible thing. Some sort of nuclear accident happened. Cancer goes up 10%. Mm-hmm. But I can't prove any particular person got cancer from this particular incident. This is one of the things that mindless pro-nuclear people, I am pro-nuclear, but people who are mindless in it like to say, you can't prove that this person got cancer from being near Three Mile Island, but there's an increase of cancer near Three Mile Island. When you have hate speech, it's very much like spewing radioactivity. You cannot necessarily draw a straight line or prove it pedantically like you might in court. But as humans, we have to realize releasing poison into the environment, whether it be a strontium-131 from a nuclear bomb tested in the desert, or constantly talking dehumanizing speech. Yes, both of these are toxic, and both of these have the potential to kill. Can you prove a straight line association between them? No, you can't.
So
but as a society, we have to draw a line.
So you would have an organization like CCTV limit or shut down that speech.
Yes.
And then, so that's where I come.
Or at the very least, have it directly opposed. If you can't do it,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
that's exactly what I'm saying. More conversation. Yes.
So the conversation. So what is the next conversation? What do you see as the next conversation from?
I don't see another conversation about free speech on this.
Yeah.
I'm not. Generally a debater. What I do is I do public records requests. I write articles rarely. This isn't my thing, but I find people who are causing harm, like certain fascists that used to live in Enosburg, and I expose them. We're talking about a neo-Nazi. I try to expose them. That's what I do. That's my activism.
Gee whiz. Yeah, that's your free speech.
Yeah.
That's good that you exercise your free speech to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sandy, how about you? What do you see? Is there more conversation to be had?
I always have conversations. You know that more than anybody.
Mm-hmm. But what about here? I mean, I feel like...
Just what I said. I'd have conversations here in public like I'm doing.
Yeah. Do you feel like this is useful to the public?
Do
you feel like this conversation we've had here is useful
I don't
to folks?
Know. Or we'll have
useful?
To ask the public.
Yeah.
I really, although I would argue Marina's right to throw around words like fascist. I don't like that. I find that hate speech.
Nonsense.
I would not limit it. And I think we should just have more and more conversations.
When somebody calls themselves a fascist, they are a fascist. I mean, the person I'm speaking about in Enosburg is a member of Patriot Front, And they are quite proudly a fascist, so I can call them a fascist. I'm not slurring anyone.
I'm not arguing anything about it. Mm-hmm. You have, because you are exercising your free speech to utter hateful words about other people.
That's your right to do it. The poor Nazis. I'm sorry, Sandy. This comes from an organization that sprung from Vanguard America, which killed Heather Heyer in Charlottesville. Thank you, Sandy. Yeah. Poor Vanguard America. Poor Patriot Front.
So,
you're the victim.
We may be ending on a hot note.
No, we're not. Not to me, you're not.
We're
ending on an insulting note to me, but as you know, I can do that easily.
Well, insults go in all different directions, but I want to say that I appreciate both of you.
Thank you.
For coming today and participating, and I'm sorry that we didn't get, you know, we can't solve this
We never will.
Conversation.
We will not. Except here. If we really have clear, I think, loyalty to the U.S. Constitution.
Yeah.
That's what I have, and I always will.
Yeah, you're a constitutionalist.
The Constitution has been interpreted in many ways. Before Brandenburg, free speech was restricted entirely.
Mm-hmm.
And there may be decisions in the past that will interpret it differently that don't include hate speech.
Yeah. Well, we're going to strive to have a couple more conversations specifically around free speech. I think there are other conversations that are still yet to be.
There's going to be part next. There's a lot of going to be free speech controversies coming up about this war.
Yeah.
In Israel.
And we'll probably be standing on the same side on that one, Sandy.
All right. Thank you both for coming. Don't get up without taking off your mics.
Yeah.
And, really appreciate it. Thank you, Marina.
Thank you.
If you like this podcast, please consider sharing and liking it on your social media. Reviews help drive the algorithms that basically run the internet world. So please, if you have the time, leave a review on your podcast aggregator. Reviews on Apple and Google help a lot. So if you're willing to deal with these companies, and only if you're willing to deal with these companies, leave reviews. This was VMN, Volume 3, Episode 24. VMN was formerly known as Vermont Movement News and can be found on podcast apps as Vermont Movement News.